And so let's briefly go back again to Romans 10:15, and I want to ask a question. I know you know the answer to that. It's no mystery. It's not a trick question. It's a simple answer. Who needs salvation? Everyone. All of us. Each one needs salvation. And so, who is going to bring that to those who need it? Thankfully, most of us who've already accepted the Lord and we are members of the church, we have salvation. We just got to keep it. Be faithful. Be faithful until the death, and we will receive that crown of everlasting life. So we have it. But sometimes we forget to remember to realize that others need the gospel. And in the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, we have several examples of people who need salvation and who needed it at that time. In the very beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, we all know about the Holy Spirit coming down, and that day when Peter preached that message. And we have here how after he preached that message, there were many who believed and said, "What can we do?" And you know that those who were there in that time that we look here, it says that they were devout people. In verse 5, Acts chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." When we look a little farther in Acts, there is another man, another example of a man who was devout, fearful of the Lord, who gave alms, who helped the poor, but he still needed the gospel. How many people do we know in our personal life that are good people? I think we all know good people. You know, to be honest, we often say this world is really bad, right, and evil. There's so much evil in the world. But if we think hard, honestly, there's a lot more good people than evil people. But there's good people who don't know that they need salvation. And maybe we know someone like that. And we can show them. We have salvation. Are we excited to share that salvation? You know, we often are excited when we find a good restaurant that has good meals, right? How many of us have gone to a restaurant that when you went there, you were treated so great by the waitresses, the waiters, and when the food came in, it was cooked just like you wanted it. And when you started eating it, you were like, "Man, this is the greatest food I've ever eaten, beside the one my wife makes." Yeah, because you know, wife makes the best food, right? That you say that. But then when she's not there and your mom's there, then it's mom's who makes the best food. But we get so excited about that. And what do? When we leave that restaurant, you know, we leave a tip and we go out, what do we often do? We go tell somebody, "Hey, guess what? I went to that restaurant. You got to go there. You got to go there because you're not going to be sorry. They have great food. The service is great. You're going to love it." And we often say that to different people. You know, if we can say that about a physical food, what about the spiritual food that we have? To share that and say, "Hey, guess what? We have something great," even if they are good. So someone who is devout, who is good, needs the gospel. In Acts, we also have those who were deceived by miracles. In Acts chapter 8, we're not going to read all of that, but in here, in Samaria, there are different people there, and there's an account of one particular man who is there. And he is doing different things that the people are amazed at him. Again, we're not going to go into it because of time, but this man here, I believe his name was Simon. He was doing all these things and the people were amazed. But then comes Philip and some of the apostles, and they preach the gospel and show miracles and do all kinds of miracles. And many believed. They were taught the right thing. These people were being fooled by someone, but with the gospel, they knew what they needed to do. How many people today profess to do miracles? Hey, just go on Vision TV. Watch some of the other TV programs. And I've seen, when I was starting to learn to edit, I was looking at some of those programs, and don't be shocked when you see at the end of a program say, hey, you know, you have problems in life, send us your $20 donation and we'll send you this flask of water from the River Jordan. And follow the instructions and your problems will go away. Well, that's good. Okay. Guess what? People believe that. There's people who are fooled by those things. So we need to teach the gospel, even to those that are fooled by all the things that go around. We also need to teach to those who are sincere but are in error. Now, in Acts chapter 10, we have a man, again, who was very devout. His name was Cornelius. In Acts, he describes him as a centurion of the Italian regiment. And it says there was a devout man who feared God. And you would think, hey, there is a man that he has nothing to worry about because he's devout, fears God, helps the poor, and all that. But there was still something missing. And God sends Peter to him to show him the right way, the thing he needed to do to be saved. And how many of those do we know today that know what it needs, that are really sincere about trying to serve God? You know, I often say that there is someone who truly is seeking to do God's will. God will find a way for that person to know the truth and do his will. And guess what? Sometimes the path that God will show that person, it could be you. If you just allow the Lord to work through you. So we have many who are in error that need the gospel. And there are some who do not know God at all. You know, Paul went to Greece and he said it's all this different, we're talking about idols earlier and different images of gods, that they had a god, an image for every god. And just to make sure that they didn't miss anyone, they had one for the unknown god. And what did Paul say? That unknown god is the one I'm going to come and teach to you. The one I'm going to show you. There's people who don't know God at all. I've only had one instance with Brother Max when we were visiting someone who called the program. And when we sat with the person, I believe he was from Asia region, Max will always ask the person, do you believe in God, before every Bible study? Because if that person didn't believe in God, we're really going to waste our time because they wouldn't believe that we have God's word and all that. So I remember Max asking him, do you believe in God? You know what the reply was from this young man? He said, I don't know if there is a God because nobody's ever told me about any God. And so we began from that point on. There are people who don't know about God that are good people, that once they know who God is, they can be faithful. And there are those who are immoral. You know, we talk about immorality. In Acts 18, he talks about when they were in the city of Corinth, I believe. And so many there also believe. Have you ever thought that when you see someone or know someone and you think to yourself, well, no, I can't talk to that person about the gospel because they're just so immoral? Has that ever come across your mind? You know, in verse 8 of chapter 18 in Acts, the last part says, "And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." How many know about the church in Corinth? How many know about the city of Corinth? You know, it tells us back in those days, Corinth, basically, if somebody told you, you know, "Oh, you're just like a Corinthian," that was an insult. Because they were so immoral, they were so depraved, nobody wanted to be, you know, nobody wanted to have anything to do with someone from Corinth. But yet, the apostles went to Corinth, to that place where there was all sorts of immorality, all sorts of vain worship, idol worship. There was a temple dedicated to a goddess, which is the goddess of sexuality. When you went there, there was, you know, they called the priestess. Well, they were actually, I'll use the word for lack of a better word, prostitutes. You were to go worship there. You went with a woman to worship this particular god. That's how depraved that country was. But when the gospel got there, there were some who believed and were baptized. So never think that someone who is very depraved or immoral doesn't need the gospel, because they do. And there were some who were previously baptized. In Acts 19, verse 1 and 6, there were some who were baptized by the baptism of John. Then they were told about Jesus and they were baptized. How many do we have? Any of you have known? I've known people that when I've talked to them, say, "Oh yeah, I've already been baptized." One of my last studies, he's a member now, but when we were studying, I asked the question, "You know, you've been baptized?" He said, "Yes, I've been baptized." "Said, tell me about your baptism." And he went on to tell me about the baptism. He said he was going to this particular group, and one particular day they said that if anybody wanted to obey the Lord, be baptized. And he went with a whole group. And they told him, "Do you believe the Lord Jesus?" And says, "Yes." And says, "Well, you're saved. Now we're going to put you in on this list. And on this date, we're going to have X number of people. And we're going to baptize a lot of you. So that way, you know, you'll be baptized." And he said, "That's how I got baptized." And I said, "Did you understand what you were doing? Did you know what baptism was for?" He says, "No, I just know that there was people who wanted to go and I wanted to go." So after we studied with him, and which, by the way, real quick, I know I've spoken a lot, but I've gotten in the habit of using some little booklets. Maybe some of you have seen them. This is how I do a lot of my Bible studies now. If you want to see some of those, let me know and I can get some here. But very basic, very to the point, scripture, questions. And when we got to the point of baptism and we show what the scripture says about baptism, I ask him, "Is this what you did when you got baptized?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Do you believe that if you were to die today, you're going to be in heaven?" And he said, "No." And I said to him, "Do you believe that you need to be baptized?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "When do you want to be baptized?" And he said to me, "Can we do it now?" I was at the Strathmore building and there was people there, and after we went through the study and he knew what Jesus did for us, he knew what baptism is about, he's now a faithful member at Strathmore. He thought he was baptized previously, but not like scripture tells us. And guess what? That's what we need to teach the gospel. Who is a good candidate for salvation? We all are. All of us. There is no one who is not. And so, my encouragement to you is, if you have not used your talent for the Lord, if you are not using your beautiful feet to spread the good news, don't be afraid. You can, we all can do it. We all can spread the good news. I don't know how many of you have seen this or heard about this. Way back, I believe it was in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, Strathmore was involved in another Canada-wide mission called Good News is for Sharing, in which we sent a mail pamphlet to every home in Canada. Everyone tried to get involved. We all have a talent. We all have a small part we can play in our home congregation. So let me encourage you. Doesn't matter how small you think your talent is, use it for the Lord. Recently, I read a little proverb. I believe it was made famous by Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama is a spiritual leader of Tibet, I believe. But I've learned that it's actually an African proverb. And he made it popular, and it goes something like this. If you think your talent is too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. I see some like little chuckling. Some of them, I don't know what you mean. I come from a third world country where there's a lot of mosquitoes. When you're sleeping at night and there's one mosquito buzzing in your ear, you're not going to sleep well that night. You're going to be trying to get that, and just when you think that you got it and you're starting to fall asleep, that little mosquito will not let you sleep all night. And this is where the proverb comes in. It doesn't matter how small your talent is, it can make a big difference. It can make a big difference for the Lord. It can make a big difference for someone's life. It can make a big difference for you. Don't think that you are too young, too old, too tired, too busy. Because we all have a talent from the Lord to put in his ministry to make sure that the gospel reaches all those around. And let me finish with this, and thank you for your patience. I know that I've talked a lot, but I warned you. But let me finish with this. Some of you also know Marvin Johnson, or knew of him. Some of you also knew Mildred Johnson, his wife. Mildred passed away last month. I did her funeral service. Passed away at 88 years old. Do you know that she was in a nursing home? She couldn't get out much. When she could, she tried to get out. And at 88 years old, I remember one Sunday she came to Strathmore that she was able to. She came to me and says, you know what? I'm studying with one of the people at the nursing home, and they're asking me questions that I'm not comfortable in answering. And she asked me for help, and I did help her. You know who she was studying with? She was studying with a Catholic nun from there. 88 years old, but she wanted to share the gospel to this person. And you think about that. I'm only 53 years old. And we think that we might be too busy. We think that we might be too old, maybe too young. There's no such thing with God's help. Remember, you're not doing it on your own. It's with God's help. So let's put our talent to work. Let's pray for the ministries that share the gospel. Pray for those in this congregation that are helping the congregation to share the gospel. And put your talent to work, because many hands lighten the load, and it could be a blessing not only here, but across Ontario and Canada. And if you're here, you've been studying, maybe you know something about this great God we serve. Maybe you do nothing. I'm sure there is men here. I'm here today. You can come and ask us. we can let you know how wonderful it is to be part of this great family. And a great family it is. You don't believe me? Ask anyone who's been part of the church. I think one of the brothers that came in here earlier was being thankful for how the congregation has helped. Guess what? That's what family is about in the Lord. We help each other. And we help each other and help others to get to heaven. The message is yours, and if you're subject to the invitation to know more about the gospel, let us know. As we stand, I believe we have a hymn. If we do, we can stand and sing.